Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 13. Well, let me say it's good to be back. surely no fun being sick. The title of the message is God Made Promise to Abraham. And I'll read verse 13, Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. Now, when men swear, in Galatians 3, it says it makes an end of all strife. Now, when I swear, it's questionable. Because it may not be. Because I don't have the power. I might have good intentions. And I might be thoroughly resolved in my own mind and heart to do something. But it may be on my ability to accomplish what I would be foolish enough to swear to. But when God swears, by himself. Because he can't swear by any greater. There's nothing greater. Men swear by that which is greater than themselves. There's nothing greater than God. And so he swore by himself. He told Abraham, surely bless him. I'll bless thee. And so on. So when God swore, let me read that again. For when God made promise to Abraham, now God's promise is God's covenant. Here they are, the covenants of promise, Ephesians 2:12. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Now, in that promise of God, that goes a long way. Look at, turn back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12, 3. He says here, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So all families of the earth had a blessing in the promise that God made to Abraham. So since we are of the families of earth, there may be a promise there for us. Now, look on over at Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. The Lord says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and unto thy seed after thee. Now, to that seed of Abraham, who are evidently from all nations, because the promise concerned all nations in 12:3, and here he says it's through thy seed. So thy seed evidently is all nations, is not just restricted to the Jewish family. And so again, maybe we have part of that promise might be to us. Look at, well, you all know what 2 Samuel, but let's turn and read it, because 2 Samuel 23:5. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh not to grow. Now, turn back again to Genesis, chapter 17 again. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, that verse evidently has its eye toward the spiritual seed of Abraham. But there's no break. And it goes right on and says in verse 17:8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession will I, and I will be their God. Now, in these promises of God, we need to learn to separate things that are different. Because there's promises that goes to the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed of Abraham, and there's promises that go to the fleshly seed of Abraham. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Abraham had two sons. Well, he had more than two sons, but two sons who have a chief legacy in the history of Abraham. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:21. Now, you all know what's going on here in Galatians. Paul had went into the region of Galatia and had preached the gospel, and there was churches established. And there had been people come from Jerusalem who had told the Jews, well, we've got no problem with faith. We know you're saved by, you know, you're justified by faith. You're saved by faith and all that. But you've got to also be circumcised and keep the law in order that you can really be one of God's people. And so Paul was fighting against that. And here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? In other words, those of you who are wanting to be circumcised and keep the law as well as faith, if you that want to mix faith and works, really what you're wanting to do is be saved by works. But, he says, those of you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Hold your place there. We're going to come back to that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians 10:18. Behold Israel after the flesh. Not after the spirit, but Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices of the altar, or of the sacrifices, partaker of the altar? Now these people were, they had no part in the covenant of promise. They were the natural seed of Abraham. They were Israel after the flesh, but they were not covenant children of God. And they partook naturally of the altar. They ate of the sacrifices that were offered on the altar, but they ate them blindly. They did not behold Christ in those sacrifices. They did not understand the mystical meaning of those sacrifices. They thought by fulfilling these things, these ordinances that are set before us, we'll justify ourselves before God. We'll fulfill this law by our actions, by our works, and so be justified before God and accepted of God. But they were Israel after the flesh. They did not see Christ when they ate of those sacrifices. But the spiritual seed of Abraham, when they ate those sacrifices, they were able to behold Christ in the sacrifices and to understand that eating of those things naturally was a symbol of feeding upon the Word of God and living upon Christ spiritually. So we have to separate things that differ. There's Israel after the flesh, and there's a spiritual seed of Abraham. Now back to wherever we was at. Galatians 4. But he who was born of the bondwoman, or born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. Now, Isaac was a son of promise, and because of the promise God had made to Sarah at this time, I'll come and you'll bear a son. Even though she was 90 years old, Abraham was 100, and it was impossible for her to bear children, for it had ceased with her after the manner of women. The Holy Spirit visited her at the time God had promised and made her able to conceive seed and bear a son, and not only that, but to give suck to that son. So Ishmael was a son of the promise of God. And now what a miraculous conception and birth that was, that one 90 years old should have a child by one who was 100 years old. Now think about that today. That's quite a proposition, isn't it? Well, our spiritual birth is just as miraculous as that. It's just as much a miracle of God for anybody to believe this gospel and rest all their hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, a man you've never saw with your natural eye. You heard of those who have heard and saw him with their natural eye. You read their reports. But it's just as much a miracle that we should come to find at some point in our life, hey, Christ, what this is all about. This whole shooting match here on earth, everything that's going on here, is about coming to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of Him with whom I have been in union from old eternity. That's what it's all about. This earth is about God giving His body, mystical body of Christ, a being. Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was as good as done when God purposed it. And I know that God has no reference to time, but because of our limitations, I'll say it that way. When God purposed it, it was as good as done. Although He had to come here in the flesh and take human nature into union with His divinity, with His Godhead, and become a real man to suffer the things that men suffer in order that He could die for us and set us at liberty from our spiritual captives. It had to be. So we had to be here today. Had to be here today. It's foreordained of God. Having the privilege of sitting under the sound of the gospel. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, these two boys, these two young men, are the two covenants. The one is Mount Sinai, which is gendereth to bondage, and is Agar or Hagar, which is the Egyptian bondwoman of Sarah, of whom Ishmael was born, who was the son of the flesh. For this Agar in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, in other words, as Hagar answered to Sarah, so this, the children of the bondwoman, do not have the status, do not have the position, do not have a covenant interest of the children of the covenant. It's just simply not given them. And that's the purpose of God. It was never the purpose of God to give it to them. How blessed we are if we can hear. He that hath an ear to hear. Let him hear. Verse 25, Galatians 4:25. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now it's evident there that us all is talking about us all who are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. Who are given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are made to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that beareth not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Well, what was it that distinguished those who Paul says, now we, brethren? It was their faith. God had visited them in time and had written His law, His precious holy law, in the fleshly tables of their hearts. Caused them to believe. Put the truth in them, so when they heard the truth, they knew it. They knew that was it. Now back to Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now you remember in Psalm 89, the Lord said, I have made a covenant unto David. I have sworn by my holiness. Now God's holiness is at stake here. if the very least, the one who has the least faith, the one who has the least of the graces of God, if the smallest, and I don't mean that, and that's a bad way to put it, but I do that because I don't have a better way to put it. If any one of the children of God doesn't make it to glory, then God's holiness has a smear. And God will not allow that to happen. That's something that just is not going to happen. He's pledged His holiness. And what He has determined to come fast is absolutely, for certain, going to come fast. For when God made promise to Abraham, because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." But when God swore to Abraham, He wasn't swearing just to Abraham. He was swearing to Abraham and all of Abraham's seed. Look at Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." And then down verse 29, he says, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise." And then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, "For verily that is Christ in all His mediatorial offices, prophet, priest, and king of his church and people. For verily He took not on angels." I left out the italics. He didn't take on angels. But He took on the seed of Abraham. He took on the seed of Abraham to bring them to glory. Galatians 3:16. Well, no, turn to Galatians 3, 6, and 7. Galatians 3, 6, and 7. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now, if God has given us to believe the gospel, then we are of faith. And that is evidence to us that we are the children of Abraham and of the prophets and of the covenant, Acts 3:25. Now, back to Hebrews 7:15. "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Well, you might think, well, I kind of question my endurance. And a lot of free will preachers will certainly make you question your endurance, because according to them, it's up to you to endure. But according to the 89th Psalm, God said, "I'm going to make them endure." So if God says, "I'm going to make them endure," they will endure. So endurance is an evidence to us that we're the children of God. It's an evidential thing. It's evidence to us that we're the children of God. Why haven't you quit already? I'm sure you've been through some hard times. So why haven't you quit already? It was because there's a power in you that's greater than yourself. So then after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, it's settled, it's over with and done. It's going to be. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. It can't change. His counsel can't change. And he confirmed it with an oath. That can't change. So there's two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay on the hope, to lay hold on the hope that is set before us in the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That by two immutable things, verse 18, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil, our Lord Jesus Christ, has entered into the heavenly sanctuary itself, into the very presence of Almighty God, there to appear for us. Now, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? First of all, he's going to give him all things. With him. But we're in him. So, in giving him all things, he's going to give us all things.
Amen.
And what are those things? It's all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the promises in him, in Christ, are yea and in him. Amen. Well, what does all that mean? Well, it means we've got every reason to believe.
Yeah.
One of these days, I don't know when it's going to be, one or two things are going to happen. Just in the twinkling of an eye, believers are going to be changed and caught out of this world.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when that's going to be or if that's what's coming next. But the next thing may be that we'll be facing an eternity that we know nothing about except what is revealed to us in this book. God has sealed that. He's kept that secret. Things that goes on. And if you notice, after Lazarus was raised from the grave, he didn't make any report of what went on. Nor did the widow's son at Nain, nor any of the others who was resurrected. The Lord evidently keeping that secret. And it's secret to us. We're going out into an eternity that's going to be a new thing to us. And what's our hope? If it rests in ourselves and in our being good enough. You know, I heard a fellow come up to me and he said, "Well, I hope I can be good enough." And I told him, I said, "Well, you can't." And I think he was offended. I didn't mean to offend him. I think he was offended. And we said, it's just the truth. We're not good enough. It takes the righteousness of God. And that's what we have imputed to our account by God the Father. Because of our covenant interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me turn to just a couple of scriptures. Look at Jeremiah. Chapter 50 and verse 20. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, I'll give you a minute here. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Now there again, let's look at that. Separating things that differ. He's not talking about Israel after the flesh there.
No.
He didn't come to save Israel after the flesh. He's talking about the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now look at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. Let's go back. Let's just start reading down at 14:1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping on their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the beast and before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So I tell you who they are.
Yeah.
These are they which are not defiled with women. In other words, they were not partakers of idolatry. They weren't partakers of the harlot that stands on every corner saying, come in hither and come down and shake the preacher's hand. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Now, if anybody has any doubts about how it's going to be in the judgment, look at verse 5. They are without fault. For believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear.
Amen. Truth.
Nothing to fear. First of all, because we're without fault before the throne of God, we're spotless in His spotlessness, we're holy in His holiness, He is our righteousness, He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And He's our intercessor, He is our advocate, and He's the judge. So how's it going to go with you?
Yes, sir.
He's not going to rule against himself.
Oh boy.
It's no wonder he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And he overcome it for us.